Good morning, church. I read to you once again from 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, we come before your throne and we want to proclaim all glory to you, all honor to you. Indeed, you are El Shaddai, God Almighty. And we thank you that you are our loving Heavenly Father. Thank you for access to your throne room by the blood of Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, and by your Holy Spirit. We thank you that we can call you Abba, because you are our Father who loves us. Thank you for giving us Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for leaving glory for us, taking upon yourself human flesh and shedding your blood on the cross. For you were wounded for us. You were bruised for us. The punishment of our peace was laid on you. By the blows that cut into your body, we are healed. We thank you for your Spirit. We thank you for your very presence here. Yes, we thank you that you are here, right in our midst. And we can experience your presence and your power. And as we look into the pages of your word, open our eyes that we would perceive wonderful truths out of your holy law. O Lord, write your word upon our minds and upon our hearts. Transform us from within. O Lord, come and touch us. Deliver us and heal us, we pray. In Jesus' name, Amen. Our subject today will be the invisible blockades to healing. The invisible blockades to healing. And the question often is asked, why is it that thousands of people are healed, but there are so many who are not healed? In fact, why is it that some of God's choicest children do not receive healing? When we started our series on divine healing, we said that the reason some people are not healed is a mystery known only to God. From the book of Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29, we read, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." The things that we can't explain or we can't understand with our finite puny minds are secret things. They are secret things belonging to the Lord. However, there are other things that are revealed, and they belong to us so that we may receive and act upon that which is revealed to us by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. We receive those truths and we act upon them. Now, sometimes the lack of healing may be a mystery, but other times the cause may be identified. And so it is important to reveal such things that have been identified to God's people. There are certain blockages to healing that we can clearly identify, which the Holy Spirit will enable us to understand. And once these hindrances, these barriers are removed, we can receive the healing that Christ has provided for us. For by his stripes we are healed. Now, we need to be guided by the Holy Spirit to identify these invisible blockages to healing. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. John 16, verses 13 to 15. Everything that the Father has invested in his Son. Everything that the Father has, he has invested in his Son. And the wealth of the Father and the Son is administered, given to us by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the steward of God's storehouse. He keeps the storehouse of God. And when we are in step with the Holy Spirit, and when we learn to be in communion with the Holy Spirit, he will lead us into all truth. He will teach us how to receive from the storehouse of God. And that's why it is so important for Christian believers to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm so glad young people, little children are praying, "Baptize me in the Holy Spirit." That's a beautiful prayer. That's a beautiful prayer. "Baptize me in the Holy Spirit. Let your Holy Spirit fall upon me. Let me have that personal Pentecost in my life." Praise God. Till you receive that baptism in the Holy Spirit, keep asking. Keep on asking. Don't stop. Keep on asking. Because it is so important for us. I've said this many times. The Christian life is a supernatural life. The Christian life is a supernatural life, not a natural life. God said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, he quoted, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation." A new creation. "The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. The old man has been crucified with Christ on the cross." And God has implanted in you and me the Holy Spirit, which gives birth to the new man. New creation. Supernatural. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. And when we learn to live in the realm of the Holy Spirit, when we learn to live this supernatural life led by the Holy Spirit, Romans chapter 8 verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God." Now the word "sons" there, I've said that earlier, in the original Greek text actually means mature sons and daughters. Mature sons and daughters, not infants. So it is for our benefit that we befriend the Holy Spirit, because he is the revealer of the truths in the storehouse of God. And that's why the Apostle Paul talks about communion with the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 14. "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen." Communion. You can't have communion with any object. You can only have communion. You can't have communion with an inanimate object. You can have communion only with a person. And who is this person? He is the person whom the Lord Jesus Christ has sent into this world after he is risen and ascended and seated at the right hand of God the Father. He sent the person of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, the third person of the triune Godhead, is the one whom we are called to commune with and to be led by. And the Holy Spirit will lead us. And what will he do? He will teach us. He will teach us. So Paul says, "These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 13. Remember, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither does he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Spiritual truth. Truth that we have written in the Word of God can be understood only when the Holy Spirit reveals the truth to us. The author of the book reveals the book to us. The Holy Spirit reveals. The Holy Spirit teaches. He leads us into all truth. any blockage to healing are therefore are not any blockage to healing therefore are not on God's side, because the cross is the meeting place between God and man. And when Jesus died on the cross, what happened? The veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom, not from bottom to top. It was torn from top to bottom. It was not torn by man, it was torn by God, signifying that we have direct access to the throne room of God through the blood of Jesus Christ and by the Holy Spirit. So every barrier on God's side has been removed. We have been delivered from the clutches of the evil one, redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have free access to the very throne room of God. We have the joy of being able to call this Lord God Almighty, El Shaddai, our Father, Abba. Colossians chapter 1 verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Redemption means deliverance. Deliverance. We have redemption through his blood, by the blood that he shed for us on the cross. We've been delivered. Delivered from the clutches and the power of the evil one. Delivered from sin and Satan. Delivered from the world, the flesh and the devil. Alive unto God to live the supernatural life that he has implanted in us by the Holy Spirit. We have access to the very throne room of God through Jesus Christ and by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 18. For through him, that is Christ, we both, that is Jew and Gentile. You read that, you read the context there. Jew and Gentile have access by one Spirit to the Father. And that's what happened when Jesus shed his blood on the cross. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? To serve the living God. That's the life that God expects us to live. And we live that life when we are in step with the Holy Spirit, when we walk with him and commune with him, and he leads us into all truth. Now, since we have access to God through the blood of Jesus Christ and by the Holy Spirit, then why are there blockades or barriers to healing? Now, barriers to healing are not on God's side, as I just said. Barriers to healing often remain within the hearts and lives of God's people. And that's the problem. Whether you are seeking healing for yourself or you're seeking healing for others, you must be aware of these blockades, these barriers, and you must deal with them first. And that will save endless time when ministering healing or when trying to receive healing. Now we'll try and go through some common hindrances that prevent people from receiving healing. We will not be able to go through all hindrances. And there are certain things that we will know nothing about, which are secret things that belong to God. We'll look at a few hindrances today. And God willing, we will continue on the remaining hindrances to healing, the barriers to healing, next time. But let's go through a few barriers today and trust the Lord to minister to us. And as we look to him and as we seek his face, as we look to him for healing, trusting the Lord to minister, to help us understand these barriers so that they can be removed from our lives. Now let me say that the process that we will be going through is like going to a doctor today. Today's doctor. Years ago, the doctor would just listen to your heart and lungs using a stethoscope and then tap you on your back and say, open your mouth and say, ah. Then the doctor might give you some pills. That was so simple. That was a simple procedure. And I wish they had continued. That was a simple procedure. The doctor made his own diagnosis. But of course now, they can't, because the diseases have increased in number, enhanced, so to speak. Today when you go to the doctor, he or she often orders blood work tests to be done, sent to the lab, and then other tests, X-ray, CT scan if needed. Then the test reports come back, and they identify where the specific problem is so it can be treated. Now, spiritually speaking, what we are actually going to do is to submit ourselves to these tests so we can identify, we can eliminate any problems in relation to healing. And these steps are practical, they are systematic, just like a doctor today would do his work. And as we progress through each barrier, what we are going to do is we will pray. We will pray so that we will be forgiven and delivered, and that that barrier would be removed, and that we may be free to receive the healing grace of God. The first barrier, I believe, is ignorance of God's word and God's will. Ignorance of God's word and His will. Now, ignorance of God's word and His will is a tremendous common hindrance to healing in the church today. Multitudes of Christians do not know the clear, simple truths and teachings of the Bible, the Word of God. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 13, the Lord says, "Therefore my people have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge." Isaiah 5 and verse 13. No knowledge of what? Of God's word. Really? Yes. You may be a diligent student of God's word, but let me tell you this. Unless and until the Holy Spirit reveals truth to you, all your study is just intellectual. It's not going to make sense. It's not going to be practical. It's not going to be practical. Remember, the Holy Spirit is the revealer of truth. And truth is received not by intellectual understanding. Truth is received by revelation. Spiritual truth is received by revelation. That's why little children are able to understand truth. Spiritual truth. That's why we find even the uneducated, who probably can't even read and write, who are blessed with spiritual blessings, even spiritual gifts. Because truth, the truth of God, is revealed, and we receive what He reveals. No knowledge of God's word, no knowledge of what was accomplished by the death of Jesus on the cross. Ignorance is the problem. Even a truncated understanding of the truth is a problem. In Hosea chapter 4 verse 6, the Lord says something very similar. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Hosea chapter 4 verse 6. In what has been preached so far in this church regarding the cross and regarding healing, I believe a foundation has been laid for the knowledge of the word of God and of God's provision through Christ for healing in the atonement. And I strongly believe, if you do not realize that there is healing in the atonement, you are in great trouble, because you are not going to receive healing. Every blessing that you and I receive comes only because of the cross. There is no other means by which we can receive blessing from God if it is not for the cross. Otherwise, Jesus would never have left glory and taken upon Himself a human body, identifying Himself with sinful mankind and shedding His blood on the cross, not just to give us eternal life, but to give us life abundant. So make sure you put your weight on the whole truth of what God has said in His word. And I believe the foundation, that foundation should help dispel any ignorance of the scriptures. Yet, to remove this potential barrier and be released from captivity, we need to confess. Yes. We need to confess to God our own sin and our own ignorance. The fact that we haven't sought after God, the fact that we haven't hungered for truth as we should, we haven't personally spent time seeking God and His word, that He may reveal truth to us as we should have. We haven't taken the time to find out what God is saying in the way we should have. we need to ask God to forgive us. You might be saying, Pastor, I take two Bible studies a week. That doesn't make any. You take Bible study. You're studying the Bible to take Bible study. If you're studying the Bible to take Bible study, you're in great danger. You're in great danger. You don't study the Bible to get a big head. You study the Bible to grasp what God wants you to know so that your life is changed. That's why you take Bible study. Well, that's why you study the Bible. You know, there are preachers who have serious problems if they can't preach. If they don't have an opportunity to preach, they're in trouble. They're restless. They're restless. Because their entire life depends on the fact that, you know, they're called to preach. Dangerous, actually. It's very dangerous. If something happens and I lose my voice and I can't preach, I stop being a Christian? Will I stop being communing with God? Never. Never. Ever. Ministry is an outflow of an inflow. For many, their inflow is lacking, only outflow is there. And the outflow is not from God. We need to ask God to forgive us. We need to commit ourselves as far as it is possible to seek to know God personally through His Word, to experience His presence, to experience His power, to experience the truth of what He's telling us from His Word. And I invite you, please confess. I invite you to repeat this short prayer after me, please. And please pray this prayer after me. Father in heaven, I acknowledge that in many ways I have been ignorant of your word. I have been ignorant of your will through my own fault. I confess this as sin. I repent of it. I ask you to please forgive me and help me seek the truth more diligently from this time forward. In Jesus' name, amen. The second barrier to healing is unbelief. Unbelief. Now, this barrier is very common in the church. Many Christian believers regard unbelief as a kind of harmless weakness. They say, well, I don't believe that God can heal this person of this disease, but after all, does God really expect me to believe? The New Testament doesn't call unbelief a harmless weakness. It calls it a sin. When we see this truth, we are ready to get rid of unbelief and to open the way through believing God to receive what He has for us. The following scripture passage from the book of Hebrews is addressed, by the way, it is addressed specifically to Christian believers. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. He's speaking to brethren, which means he's speaking to believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lest there be in you, in any of you, an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews chapter 3 verses 12 and 13. Now notice in these verses, the writer calls unbelief, he calls it, what does he call it? He calls it evil and he calls it sin. He calls it evil, he calls it sin. In dealing with these spiritual conditions, what do we need to do? We need to replace that negative with the positive. It's evil, it is sin. So first we ask the Lord to forgive us of our unbelief. And there is not one of us, myself included, who doesn't need to ask forgiveness for unbelief. We often hide behind the prayer of the Father who brought His Son to Jesus. And when Jesus spoke to Him about unbelief, the Father said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. We hide behind that prayer often. We need to renounce the sin of unbelief. Then we proclaim our faith very simply.
That's why Jesus said your faith should be like it should be childlike. Simple trust. A child abandons himself or herself to the father or mother. That's the kind of faith God wants out of you and me. So renounce the sin of unbelief. Proclaim our faith very simply. We proclaim our faith in God and Jesus. We proclaim our faith in the Holy Spirit and in the Word of God. Now doing this can change the entire atmosphere for healing. Because from this moment on, there can be an atmosphere of faith. So let us therefore ask God's forgiveness for our unbelief and then proclaim our faith. Again, repeat this prayer after me, please. Repeat it from your heart. Father in heaven, I come to you in Jesus' name and I confess my sin of unbelief. I do not try to excuse it, but I admit it, that I am responsible for it. I am sorry for it. I renounce it. I ask you to please forgive me, to deliver me from the sin of unbelief, and please impart to me your faith. I want to make this declaration. I believe in God the Father. I believe in God the Son. I believe in God the Holy Spirit. And I believe in the Bible, the true authoritative Word of God. Lord Jesus, I believe what you have said. God's word is truth. Amen. Now the third block to healing is unconfessed sin. Unconfessed sin. Now this third barrier is not in every person's life, but it is found in many. Unconfessed sin. In the book of Proverbs chapter 28 verse 13 lays down a very vital principle. He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Proverbs 28 verse 13. You may try desperately to succeed in life in many ways, working very hard. But if there is hidden, unforgiven sin in your life, you will not prosper in the way that you were meant to prosper. And I suspect that in the lives of many of us, there are sins that have not been acknowledged. They have not been repented of. We have not stopped and turned around the U-turn from that particular sin. And we have covered up those sins and we have hidden those sins away. Now, there are some people who think that if I don't confess my sins to God, He will never know about them. Really? Yes. There are people who think like that. But listen, God already knows. And He even knows that you are thinking like that, if you are thinking like that. There's absolutely nothing hidden in His sight. Absolutely nothing hidden in His sight. He is God. So what must you do? You need to tell Him everything. Yes. You need to tell Him everything. You know, so often I have been told, many times it's happened, Pastor, I want to tell you something which I have not told anyone else. Hey, listen. You know whom you really need to tell? You need to tell it exactly as it is to God. Exactly as it is to God. Why? Because when you have told Him the worst thing about yourself, you haven't shocked Him. You haven't shocked Him. He knew it all before you told Him. God is not asking you to confess in order to find out what you have done. He knows what you have done. He is asking you to confess because when you do, then He can help you. And let me say this, only then can He actually help you. Not until then. Because as long as you hide your sin, the Bible says you will not prosper. He who covers his sins will not prosper. But whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. So He is asking you to confess for your own good, so that you can be delivered, you can be healed. Now please understand, it is for your good. It is not for his information. It is for your good. He knows every minute detail about your life. George mentioned in Psalm 139, I read to you what David said in the Psalm. Psalm 139, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue. But behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? Psalm 139. Verses 1 to 7, you should actually read that entire psalm. You can't hide from God. There's nothing that you can keep away from God. He's the one who knows you inside out. Each cell of your body is functioning because He's the giver of life. You think He does not know? How complicated the human body is. You ask a doctor, they tell you. How complicated it is. They can't set it right. There's so many things that are wrong there in the human body. They can't set it right. Because they don't know how to set it right. There are things that they can't do. But God knows everything. God knows everything. So why try and hide anything from Him? Listen carefully, please. There are things that have happened in your life that you may be very embarrassed and ashamed to talk about to anyone. But you can tell God. You can tell God. And He's never embarrassed to hear your confessions. He desires to forgive you and set you free from your sins. Isn't that wonderful? Right now, let's take the opportunity in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and I believe the Holy Spirit is right here in our midst. In the presence of the Holy Spirit, let's take this opportunity to see if there is any unconfessed sin in our hearts and lives. And let God show you if there is something that you have done or said that was wrong, but which you have never dealt with. It may have been done many years ago, but you didn't deal with it. You tried to cover it up, but it's not covered. It's not covered. So let's ask the Lord to put a searchlight upon our hearts. And this, I believe, is a very important prayer. In the same psalm, in Psalm 139, towards the end of the psalm, David prays this prayer. You know, this is the same David who committed adultery with Bathsheba and planned and killed Uriah the Hittite, the husband of Bathsheba. And he hid that sin for over 1 year. For over 1 year he tried to cover up that sin. And you read Psalm 32, he says how he tried to cover up his sin. And when he tried to cover up his sin, he says, my bones were rotting inside of me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer, he said. And then in Psalm 51, he cries out, have mercy upon me, O God. Have mercy upon me. Nathan the prophet comes. He is speaking directly to him through a parable. He's convicted of sin and he cries out to God for mercy. He doesn't hide his sin anymore. So, ask the Lord to put a searchlight upon our hearts. This is David's prayer. At the end of the same psalm, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Psalm 139, verses 23 to 24. In other words, you're saying, O God, put that searchlight on upon my heart and show me what's wrong. Show me the area of sin that I've hidden. And I thought it's all gone and forgotten. Show that to me. Reveal that to me. I want to confess it and forsake it. And heal me. Now what you have said or done may have occurred some years ago, but the Holy Spirit will bring it to your remembrance. So just confess any sin that the Holy Spirit shows you. No matter what there might be on your conscience or on your heart, No matter what there might be on your conscience or in your heart right now, if you will confess that sin or those sins with faith in God's faithfulness, then it will be as if you've never committed those sins in your life. Really? Yes. Why? Because when God forgives our sins, you know what He does? He blots them out. He doesn't ever hold those sins against us again. It's gone as far as God is concerned. Isaiah 43 verse 25. I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the God whom we worship. This is the God who loves us. This is the God who forgives us. And this is the God who is concerned about what you're going through right now. He wants to deliver you. He wants to heal you. So shall we just bow our heads and close our eyes? And we ask the Holy Spirit to search our hearts. And just wait for some time, please. Ask the Holy Spirit to search your heart. And please confess whatever sin the Holy Spirit is revealing to you right now. Just say, Holy Spirit, search my heart and reveal to me that area of sin that I've tried to hide. Search me, O God. Now, respond to God by saying this. Repeat after me, please. Father in heaven, I acknowledge this sin. Whatever that is that the Holy Spirit has revealed to you, acknowledge that. I am sorry. And I turn away from this sin. Forgive me and cleanse me in the blood of Jesus. Now, if you have confessed that sin or sins that the Holy Spirit has revealed to you, be assured, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You tried to do that which was right. You tried to live righteous, but you ended up living unrighteous. But the Lord not only forgives you, He says, I forgive. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And what else does He do? To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He gives you the power to do that which is right. 1 John 1 verse 9. If you confess, God has committed Himself. If you have confessed, God has committed Himself in His faithfulness and in His justice to forgive you and to cleanse you. Remember, you're not only forgiven, but you're also cleansed. Now there's nothing between you and God from this moment onward in that respect. And you can thank God. Will you say with me, thank you, God, for forgiving me. I receive your forgiveness. In Jesus' name. Amen. There's one more thing that you need to do. You may need to forgive yourself. Now sometimes that is the hardest part. Tell the Lord, Lord, because you have forgiven me, I forgive myself. Will you say that? Lord, because you have forgiven me, I forgive myself. The next blockade to experiencing healing is closely related to the need to forgive yourself. It is number 4, unforgiveness toward others. Unforgiveness toward others. Now this attitude of unforgiveness toward others is terribly common. Where? In the body of Christ, in the church. Jesus said, and whenever you stand praying, He is talking to a congregation of believers. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Mark 11 verse 25. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Forgive him that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Jesus said that when we are in an attitude of prayer, we should ask ourselves before we start to pray, is there anyone I have something against? Anyone I have something against? Now he said this because if you pray with resentment, if you pray with resentment and unforgiveness in your heart, these things will be blockades to answers to prayer. So you need to continually have a clear communication channel with God
and openness to receive what you're praying for. And before you pray, therefore, forgive. Forgive whatever is in your heart against anyone. And that leaves out no one. Forgive whatever is in your heart against anyone. And that leaves out no one, including someone who has died. I believe so. Someone who's dead and gone and you haven't forgiven that person, you need to ask the Lord, please forgive me for not having forgiven him or her. The Lord will do the rest. He'll do the rest. But you need to ask. Why? Otherwise that can be a blockade in your life. That can be a barrier in your life. Especially a barrier to healing. Before you pray, forgive whatever is in your heart against anyone. Then you can pray. Now, I've said this earlier, forgiveness is not an emotion. Forgiveness is a decision. A decision of the will. Remember when we were doing the series on prayer, we said that to forgive means to tear up what is called the IOUs. I-O-U. You tear it up. If you're a wife who has been mistreated or even abandoned by your husband, even though your husband might have treated you very wrongly, wickedly, what must you do? Forgive. Because your unforgiveness is a barrier to your own healing and to your own deliverance. Now, you may be a wife having in your possession right now a handful of IOUs from your husband to you. Because when he said on your wedding day, I do, what did he say? When he said, I do, what did he actually say? He said, I owe you love. I owe you support. I owe you care. I owe you provision in many areas. Now all that commitment has been broken. And so now you have in your hand a whole lot of IOUs from your husband. And by the way, they are absolutely legal. They're absolutely legal. You might be saying, that's what he owes me, doesn't he? Yes. Pastor, isn't that what he vowed that he would do for me? Yes, I agree. And you can hold on to them if you want to. But please, before you decide to do that, remember that God in heaven has in his hand many IOUs from you. And he says in so many words, let's do a deal. You tear up your IOUs and I'll tear up mine. But if you hold on to your IOUs, I will hold on to mine. Jesus said, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Mark 11:26. Now there's something beautiful here in a parable which Jesus brought to us. He gave us a parable of the unmerciful servant, and I was going through it. I was studying it in a little detail and I found out something beautiful here. Therefore, Matthew 18:23-35. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Who owed him 10,000 talents? A servant owed the king 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I'll pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay you all.
And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Matthew chapter 18 verses 23 to 35. How much did the servant owe the master, the wicked servant? 10,000 talents. Now I tried to calculate how much 10,000 talents would cost in today's price. 10,000 talents is equal to 340 metric tons of silver, and cost per metric ton of silver as on 22nd August 2024 is US dollars 9,31,953.68. That's the price. That's the cost for one metric ton. Therefore, 340 metric tons of silver is $316,864,251. And I tried to convert that into rupees, and my calculator couldn't show me the number of zeros that followed. Now, 100 denarii, that's what the other servant owed this wicked servant. Isn't that what it said? Yeah, 100 denarii. 10,000 talents and 100 denarii. How much is 100 denarii? $20. Now look at the contrast. And what is Jesus trying to get across to us? What's he trying to get across to us? This is how Jesus compared the proportion of what others owe us to what we owe God. It's like somebody owing you the equivalent of $20 and you owing God the equivalent of what? 316,864,251 dollars. That's the equivalent. So from this perspective, it's not super spiritual to forgive people. Agree? Makes business sense, right? It's enlightened self-interest. Anybody who won't let go of $20 for the sake of being forgiven $316 million plus dollars has absolutely no business sense, to say the least. So if you want God to tear up his IOUs from you, then you tear up your IOUs, whether they are from your husband, whether they are from your parents, whether they are from your children, or from anyone else. Or else, remember what Jesus said, if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Mark 11:26. You can hold on to that, and you will suffer. You will suffer. Because that's your own doing. That's your own doing. Or you can let go, ask God to forgive, and be healed, be delivered. Cause of many diseases today, unforgiveness, is unforgiveness. Now let's take a few moments to deal with this resentment and unforgiveness in our hearts. We need to do this, because if we don't do this, we can't progress. We can't receive what God wants to give us. We can't receive the healing. We can't receive the deliverance. Listen, if you have a problem inside your home, your family, of unforgiveness, and you can't forgive each other, husbands or wives, or parents or children, you can't. You know what's going to happen? Ultimately, you'll end up a sick family. A sick family. Don't let that happen. Get rid of it. Uproot it. Let it get out from your lives. You'll have healing. You want to be free? Jesus said, "You'll know the truth. You shall know the truth. This is the truth, and you shall be set free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." This is the truth. This is the way to deliverance. This is the way to healing. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you if there is any hidden root of bitterness in you. And let me say, as a pastor, there is much. There is much.
There is not a single family that I know of that doesn't have a problem. And one of the major problems is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. So ask the Holy Spirit to show you if there is any hidden root of bitterness in you. The Bible says that if a root of bitterness springs up, it causes trouble and it will defile many. It will defile many, not just yourself. You are going to be a person who is going to defile the rest. By that bitterness, by that resentment that you hold inside of you, not only will it ruin you, it will also ruin others around you. Hebrews 12 verse 15. Looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by this many become defiled. Many become defiled. So if you are a young person, and young people have this problem, I've gone through this myself, you may feel that your parents have not treated you right. Unfortunately, that's true in many circumstances today. Many circumstances it's true. But look at the first commandment that carries a promise with it. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Ephesians 6, 2 and 3. That it may be what? Well with you. That you may be a healthy person in your spirit, in your soul, in your body. Emotionally, mentally stable. Not unstable. Well with you and you may live long on the earth. Meaning fulfilling the life that God expects you to live. That fullness of life that He wants to give you. So again, it's a question of enlightened self-interest. You don't have to agree with everything that your parents do. But you must have an attitude of respect toward them. Children, please. Please grasp this truth early in life. You may not agree with all that your parents do, but you must have an attitude of constant respect toward your parents. I've never known a Christian who was truly blessed in God who had a wrong attitude toward his parents. Never. Never. In fact, I've seen the other extreme of how lives have been ruined because of no respect towards their parents. I've seen that in front of my eyes. I've had friends of mine who've actually ruined their lives by disrespecting their parents. So this is an absolute essential requirement for the blessing of God, which includes healing for your body. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Exodus 20 verse 12. Now we are not talking here only about a wrong attitude toward parents or husbands or wives. But those are the most common relationships in which unforgiveness can happen. So again, what must we do? Let's ask the Holy Spirit to show you, to show us. If there are areas of unforgiveness in our hearts and lives, let's ask the Holy Spirit to show us. And will you pray with me sincerely, please? Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I ask you now, in Jesus' name, to speak to my heart. Show me if there are areas of bitterness, resentment, and unforgiveness. And make me willing to forgive. Now, pause for a while. Listen to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit may give you a specific name, or names, or specific situations. I believe He is. Now pray this prayer. Lord, I renounce the resentment. I renounce the unforgiveness. I renounce the bitterness in my heart right now. In Jesus' name. I lay it down. In Jesus' name.
I forgive those who have harmed me and wronged me. I forgive them now, as I would have you forgive me. Now make this decision. I make the decision now to tear up all the IOUs I am presently holding. I forgive. I forgive them in the name of your Son Jesus. And I receive your forgiveness. I thank you, Lord. Now the next barrier to healing is involvement in the occult. Involvement in the occult. Pastor, why are you speaking about this in church? Because as a pastor, I've seen this problem in many families, especially in little children who are growing up, who unknowingly are involved with the occult. There's one boy I can never forget. Family came from the US. They're not here, I can tell you this. I won't name them. Came from the US. Brilliant boy, young lad, doing his 10th standard. He left US and came here. They put them in school here. He had a sister. This boy was studying the 10th standard. And I get a call from parents one day. Father says he shut himself in his room past 3 days. He just won't open the door. Just don't know what to do. We know he's alive, but there's some force that's just holding him inside. So I went to the home and I tapped the door and patiently waited and told him, this is pastor speaking. And finally he opened the door after about half an hour. He opened the door and I went in, and then, let me tell you, that room was stinking. It was a stinking mess. And as I was talking to him, I could hear voices of animals. I could hear that right in front of me. And I knew the boy was possessed. No, I wouldn't use the word possessed. Demonized. And I figured out how. Because he was playing video games. And much of what he was watching was demonic. Much of what he was doing was demonic. The Lord has delivered him. He's gone back. The family has gone back to the US. But let me tell you, this is common. This is common. Very common today. Involvement in the occult. Being in some way involved or having been involved. If you've been involved in fortune telling, Ouija board, horoscopes, any of the innumerable ways in which superstition and satanic cults have invaded our contemporary culture, if you've tampered with it, including video games, as I said, which children play with, invariably these practices are barriers to healing, and these are doorways of satanic oppression. These are doorways of demonization. So parents, you need to be careful, very careful, regarding what your children are playing with and what they are watching on the TV screen. Make sure when daddy says stop, don't watch that, don't watch it, because it's evil and it can consume your life and you can end up a wreck. Don't let that happen to you. When I was your age, we had no TV, we had no video games. We could go out and play. But please be careful, children. There are many forms of occult. Much of contemporary music, hard rock, and so on, is really, really satanic. And having grown up with musicians, I know what it is. It has demonic power in it. I myself had to renounce. I had to renounce the kind of things, the songs that I used to sing, the music that I was involved in. And if you've ever exposed yourself to it, you need deliverance from it. You see, demons gain a foothold in people's lives through a variety of ways. Variety, very subtle. Very, very subtle.
what's that, you know, they call it, what's that day, they call it that voodoo day, they call it, not Valentine's Day, what's that other?
Halloween.
Halloween. Now, let me tell you something, in your piano classes, if you've gone through classical piano classes, in your first lesson piano, there's a Halloween's piece there. Don't touch it. Don't touch it. Don't learn it. Very subtle ways in which you can open the doorways to the occult in your life. You need to be very, very watchful. Unrighteous anger. Self-hatred. Hatred of others. Revenge. Unforgiveness. I met a young boy recently, just about 3 to 4 weeks ago. He said, I want to die, I want to die. Young boy. I went to his home and he said, I want to die. Self-hatred, hatred of others, revenge, unforgiveness, lust, pornography. Young people, beware. Beware. It's all on your mobile phone. You have access to it. You don't have to go to a bookshop today. Sexual wrongdoing, various sexual perversions, transvestism. Ah, what does that mean, Pastor? Please don't do it, even if you're joking. Transvestism is the practice of wearing clothing or makeup or jewelry that is typically associated with a different gender. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it even if you're joking. Homosexuality, bestiality, what does that mean? Sexual intercourse with animals. By the way, AIDS originated with man having sexual intercourse with an African green monkey. And that's a fact. That's a fact. I preached this in CMC Hospital, Vellore. And the head of the virology department was there, right there, standing at the door. And after I preached that message, he said, where did you get that from? That's 100% true, he said. That's where the virus came from the African green monkey. Then you have sodomy, you have drug, alcohol abuse. All of these practices mentioned are open doors to demonic influence. Open doors to demonic influence. Therefore, if you have bottles in your house and saying, my dad taught me how to drink, take those bottles and put them. That's a decision you're making. Throw it down the drain. I remember when my dad came to Christ, that's what he did. He took the whiskey bottle and overturned it into the wash basin. And my grandmother was standing there and she was watching this and she said, Endamone. I still remember that scene. And you know what came out? All the cockroaches. That's the best way to get rid of it. That's a decision that you're making. Throw it out. That's renunciation. That's renunciation. No is no. Otherwise, you're opening a door to a demon in your life. I was talking recently to an alcoholic who sits at home and drinks from morning to night. Sad, pathetic. If you drink alone, let me tell you, it doesn't take long for you to get finished. I lost a friend of mine recently. I told you, multi-millionaire. The spirit of alcohol got hold of him, finished him, killed him. Cancer of the esophagus. These are demons, not just spirit, so-called physical. These are demons that can take hold of your life. And in fact, I've heard the voice that comes out of a person, the growl, you know, that kind of a, you know, a tone of voice that comes out from alcoholics. I've heard it. These are demons which will get hold of your life, and before you know it, you're over. So our next step is to renounce every contact with the occult, even if it will have been an accident. In Exodus chapter 23, Moses gave instructions to the children of Israel as to how they were to deal with forms of worship and religion that had been in the land of Canaan before they arrived in Canaan, because they were heathen practices there which were occultic. He warns them that they were to have no part whatever in such satanic practices. You shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do according to their works, but you shall utterly overthrow them and completely break down their sacred pillars. And those sacred pillars were satanic symbols. Exodus 23, verse 24. In other words, there was to be no association at all with any of those kinds of occultic practices. Especially for people who come from a Hindu background, when I lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask them to name those deities that they worship and renounce each of those deities by name. I tell them to do that because that deity could still have a stronghold in their life even though they have given their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because that deity would say, I was invited. I was invited. So renounce. Renounce. Every time someone comes from a Hindu background, I sit down with that person and I say, one by one, tell me. Renounce now. One by one, renounce. Now, when you live this kind of a life, when you do not have association with any of these kind of occultic practices, on the basis of that, you know what Moses says? He gives them the promise. So, you shall serve the Lord your God, and He will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land, and I will fulfill the number of your days. Hallelujah. Exodus 23, 25, 26. This is the life that God wants each one of us to have. And this is the life that Israel in the old covenant enjoyed. How much more you and I in the new covenant? What wonderful promises here. No barrenness, no miscarriages, no sicknesses, and a guaranteed full lifespan. No premature death. Now, who would not want that? But let us not detach these promises from the context. These are only for those who break away totally with the occult in every form. Not otherwise. If you have ever gone to a fortune teller, or you have succumbed to palm reading, even if it was a joke. I still remember sitting in a train and three girls were sitting right in front of me and one of them was reading the palm of the others. And then I told her, this is dangerous. She said, what are you saying? What are you saying? And the others who were listening to her, because they found that what she was saying was true. You know, the demons can tell you a lot of truth. Not all the truth. Not all the truth. They'll tell you a lot of truth. Maybe a little bit of truth and keep the whole truth away from you. Because they don't know all the truth. So, if you've ever gone to a fortune teller or you succumb to palm reading or horoscopes, in Kerala they call it Jathakam. Horoscopes. Horoscopes. I call it only horror, no scope. Jathakam. If ever that has been done, let me say this, the doorway has been opened to the occult. Now, Pastor, that's what my dad did, that's what my mother did, that's what my grandfather did. If the Jathakam has been written by your parents or your relatives, you need to confess and ask for forgiveness. For them, yes. Ask for cleansing of your father's bloodline and the cleansing of your mother's bloodline by the blood of Jesus, and ask the Lord to release you from that bondage, because this moves from one generation to the other. Unless and until it is cut. Unless and until it's revoked. So if you know that your Jathakam has been written, don't touch it. Have nothing to do with it. And ask the Lord to forgive your parents for having written it. Or your grandparents, whoever. And if it's in your home, take it and burn it. Burn it. Please burn it. That's the decision you're making. Ask for cleansing. Yes. Now the word iniquity, remember the three words for sin described in the Bible in Psalm 32, what are the three words, Aidan? Huh? Iniquity, transgression, sin. Fantastic. Fantastic. Now that word iniquity actually is bloodline. It moves from one generation to the other. Right? Iniquity, that word iniquity has in it, in the original Hebrew, it's bloodline. So we need to ask the Lord to deal with iniquity, to deal with bloodline sin. Yes. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord... what? Imparts no iniquity. Imparts no iniquity. The word iniquity actually deals with bloodline sin. So please pray this prayer. Pray this prayer in your heart after me. You can pray it in your heart. Father in heaven, I confess that I have gone to a fortune teller. I confess that I have had my palm read. I confess that my horoscope has been written. Please forgive me, Lord. Cleanse me of the sins of my father's bloodline by the blood of Jesus. Cleanse me of the sins of my mother's bloodline by the blood of Jesus. And deliver me from the consequences of these sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you know that Jeremiah prayed like this? Ezra also prayed like this. Jeremiah prayed acknowledging the iniquity of his ancestors. Jeremiah chapter 14 verse 20 and 21. We acknowledge, O Lord, our wickedness and the iniquity of our fathers. You see, it's a bloodline. For we have sinned against you. Do not abhor us for your name's sake. Do not disgrace the throne of your glory. Remember, do not break your covenant with us. Now this practice of going to fortune tellers and, you know, all that. Now, people think that happens to only people who are from a Hindu background. Have you heard of Aravindakshan Menon's testimony? You must read it. You must get all of it. And that lady who came the other day and got baptized, Jeeva, she got saved by listening to Aravindakshan Menon's testimony. I heard it for the first time many, many years ago, about, I think maybe 20 years ago. Amazing testimony. And he talks about, in that testimony, I still remember, he's saying, you know, when he's talking to a senior believer, and he says that, you know, he talks about that, and then he says, "Idu Christianigalum ennu cheyunnunda." Christianigalum ennu cheyunnunda. That means all this fortune telling and going to, all this happening in Christian homes today. Where are we? 2,000 years of St. Thomas having come here 2,000 years ago. Where are we? So, the influence of the occult is very subtle. And there are so many different ways in which it presents in society today. For example, you can go into a souvenir shop and you pick up some little idol. Nataraja or a little Buddha or whatever. You pick it up and you take it home as an ornament. And you're going to endanger yourself because you brought an accursed thing into your home. You brought an idol into your home. I have seen such idols in Christian homes. And I've seen the bondages that many of those Christian homes are in. And I would tell the person concerned, would you take that and throw it away? Ayyo, adu parambirayittu njangala kudumbathil ulla. Has been there in our house for so many years. That's the reason why you're inviting a demon into your home when you're placing that idol inside your house. The Bible says that if you bring an accursed thing into your home, you're accursed just like the thing. You know, Israel was defeated at the battle at Ai because of this reason. But the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. So the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. Joshua 7 verse 1. And the Lord told Joshua what the reason was for their defeat in battle. Joshua 7 verse 12. The children of Israel could not stand before, this is what the Lord is saying.
The children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their back before their enemies, because they have become doomed to destruction. They have become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you anymore, unless you destroy the accursed from among you. Unless you destroy the accursed from among you. And so Achan confessed his sin. After he is caught, he confesses his sin. That's a problem. That's a problem. Many confess their sins after they're caught. Joshua chapter 7 verses 20-21. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I have done. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment. See the lust of the eyes? The lust of the eyes. Something beautiful, yeah. Looks so good. 200 shekels of silver. Looks very good, isn't it? A wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels. I coveted them and took them. And there they are. Where? Hidden in the earth, in the midst of my tent, with the silver under it. Look at that. So Achan and his family were stoned to death. Where? In the valley of Achor. They were burned by fire after that. Stoned to death and burned by fire. It was only after that the Lord's anger was turned away from Israel. Joshua 7:26. Then they raised over him a great heap of stones, still there to this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. God's people can never toy with sin and say, it's okay, it doesn't matter. Then they raised over him a great heap of stones, still there to this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor to this day. Thank God. Today, we are not stoned. Today, the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified for us. In our place. He became a curse for us. And he releases us from every curse. When he turned to him in repentance and in faith by his blood which he shed for us on the cross. Galatians chapter 3 verses 13-14. Next time, God willing, we'll deal with more of this. Galatians 3, 13-14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. In other words, he takes the wrath of God upon himself, which you and I deserve, to set you and me free. You and I deserved that cross. But he took it. As our substitute and as our representative, he took it all upon himself. That's why he left glory. That's how much he loves us, to deliver us eternally. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Curse of the law. It's a law of God. Having become a curse for us, he who knew no sin became sin, so that you and I be set free. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Hallelujah. When you understand the meaning of these words, you will not toy with sin. You will not toy with sin. You know, in the Old Testament, each time an Israelite sinned, what did he have to do? He would have to come to the door of the tabernacle with a lamb without blemish. He'll have to come to the door of the tabernacle with a lamb without blemish, and he would have to put his hand on the head of that lamb and confess his sins. Meaning he was transferring his sins upon that innocent animal. That was the means by which God covered up the sin. And then immediately after that, he had to chop the head off. Blood had to be shed. Right in front of your eyes, when blood like that is shed, you won't go back and toy with sin again, that same sin. No, you won't. Because you've seen that innocent animal his blood being shed right in front of your eyes. But our problem today is, we haven't seen Jesus actually crucified for us. We don't understand what it means that he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our sins. The chastisement of our peace was laid on him, and by his wounds that we have been healed.
If we would understand what actually he did for us right in front of our eyes, we would not play or toy with sin anymore. We would set our lives apart unto God. So the wrath of God fell upon the Son of God, so that you and I could become children of God. So now you have an opportunity right now to renounce all occult involvement. And if you've been involved in the occult and you've dealt with it, if you have dealt with it already before God, then you are free. But if you have never dealt with it, please allow the Holy Spirit to rest upon you right now and speak to you. He has a wonderful memory. He can take you back 20 years to something that happened in your past. And you would be wondering why this stronghold has happened upon your life. The other day I was listening to a boy who told me this. He said, "I want to get out of these addictions. I want to get out of these addictions. Pray for me, I want to get out of these addictions." Now how did that come? At some point of time in his life he toyed with sin. He played with it. And a demon entered him and caught him. Bound him. That's what addictions are. It's a demon that binds you to that particular sin. So please join me in praying this prayer before we close. And don't just read the words. Let it be your own acknowledgement before God. And after this we'll pray. We pray this prayer, and then after that I pray for you personally. And I believe that you would be released from many of your sicknesses today. If the Lord has spoken to you and you've already dealt with those areas of sin in your life, healing would take place. Definitely would take place. Because when the sin is uprooted from your life, healing is bound to take place. Alright, let's pray. Father in heaven. Hello. The sovereign of the universe. And you know if I have been involved in the occult. Even in ignorance, whatever it was, I confess it as sin. And I renounce it right now. I ask you to forgive me. And I make a commitment that I will never again knowingly be involved in the occult. Forgive me, Lord. And release me from its influence right now. I also ask you to guard me from this time on, from the subtle influences of the occult, in all areas of my life, so that I do not unknowingly become involved in it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now next time, God willing, we will look into more hindrances regarding healing. But I believe the Lord has already ministered to us. And I ask you to come forward for prayer, yes, as you desire. And I pray for you. Meaning we will all pray for each person who comes forward. It's not me alone praying. You have equal responsibility. If you're not going to come forward for prayer, you're going to either sit there or stand there and you're going to pray for those who come forward. Alright. Because remember the prayer that we prayed in the beginning when we started the series on healing. What did we pray? Healing is ministered to each other in the body of Christ. So we are people who receive healing and we minister healing to each other in the name of Jesus. So that's why we need to pray for each other. And that's what church is all about. It's not just the pastor or the worship leader. No, it's each one of us. We participate in what the Lord is doing. Alright, shall we pray? Sudhi, would you just come forward and sing a song and then ask us to these things. Maybe the choir can sing. I don't know. Or I don't know how they prepare. But you can just come and sing and then we'll all stand up and you can just come forward for prayer as a song is being sung. And if you're listening online, please pray where you are without being disturbed, because the Lord is present there where you are, and the Lord is your healer. He is your deliverer. So come. as to these things, please come. Put this up.
Thank you.
Your mic is off. Your mic is off. So.